Welcome to Hidden Risk, a cybercrime magazine podcast series brought to you by Black Kite, the only platform capable of uncovering risk from three dimensions. To learn more about our sponsor, visit blackkite.com. I'm your host, Heather Engel. Joining me today is Jeffrey Wheatman, Senior Vice President and Cyber Risk Evangelist at Black Kite. Jeffrey, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, it is so fun to be here again, Heather. It's great to talk to you again. I think this is either our second or third time spending some time together. So the pleasure as always.
Yeah. So today we're talking about risk reduction. And when we're working with vendors on risk reduction, why is the quality of our data so important? And can you just give us a little bit of background to answer that question?
Sure. Historically, when people have worked with their third parties, their supply chain, their vendor landscape to sort of do risk mitigation, it's very much around, well, we're going to ask you some questions and you're going to tell us what you do. And we're going to have to hope that you're right or that you're not that people are dishonest necessarily, but I don't think people always know. And if somebody says, well, are you encrypting your data? Well, if I'm encrypting some of my data, I'm going to say yes. So there's really a challenge there in that we are asking people questions and we sort of have to take them at their word. And that's not necessarily very defensible. So we've moved away from that. And then we started doing things where we were getting cybersecurity scores and the data was of dubious value. And you would go to your vendors and you would say, hey, you have this vulnerability. And they would say, not only do we not have that vulnerability, but that's not even our IP address or that's not even our URL. So what has become increasingly important is that the data needs to be, we need to have a lot of it, obviously, but we need to make sure that the data is validated and that we have low false positive and low false negative on that data. We're able to actually keep both of those under 5%, which is significantly better than what we see in the market. But really, at the end of the day, if you don't have good data, you end up with a Chicken Little scenario or a boy or girl who cried wolf scenario, where we are saying, this is a problem, this is a problem, this is a problem. And it turns out it's not. And then people stop paying attention to us. So we really need to take data and turn it into information and then take that information and turn it into intelligence so that when we reach out to them, they know that we're reaching out to them with something that's legitimate, that's something that is actually really a problem as opposed to this thing maybe that might be an issue. So data is super critical so that at least we have defensibility and then we can have better engagement with our business partners.
Yeah, I like that correlation between data to information to intelligence, because I think a lot of times in the industry, we get stuck on data, 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 but what you do with it is really important. What are some of the challenges that we have when working with vendors on security? I know you mentioned a few there, being able to point out to them what is critical and what actually might be something that would be a security risk. What are some of the challenges that you find when we're working with vendors on that?
So there are a couple of different things. I think the first is sort of that whole false positive thing that we just talked about. I think a secondary challenge is everybody is just inundated with noise. And I think we need to move this upstream to the risk level, not just the vulnerability level, not just the threat level. It's got to be something that's going to actually be impactful to the business, either a data breach causing legal and regulatory action, or whether it's significant operational risk. Issues with resilience is sort of the big buzzword these days, is how do you keep your businesses up and running in an environment where there's just danger everywhere we turn. So I think those are some of the things too. I also think that going to our partners, vendors with a problem and not having some kind of a solution is problematic. When I used to manage people in previous roles in my career, I always used to say to my people, if you're going to come to me with a problem, at least have a solution in mind. We may not use it, but I want you to show me that you've thought about it. So when we go to all of our partners and say, hey, you guys stink, that's not particularly useful. What we want to go to them and say, look, we've identified opportunities for improvement. Let's work together on how we can do that. I also think there needs to be more sort of bi-directional, more collaboration rather than just outbound, do this, being very pedantic. So we want to work with them to understand how can we mitigate risk, because all risk can be mitigated and treated in a lot of different ways. The challenge is what's the most efficient, what's the most effective. So I think those are some of the challenges that we run into. And then we also need to be cognizant of the fact that we're not the only customer of this vendor. They may have thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of vendors. And when new software vulnerabilities are announced, when new zero days or new threats that are actual real risks come out, we need to understand that our partners are hearing from everybody. They're not just hearing from us. So if we can get right to the point and be very, very specific, be very accurate, be actionable, and being able to get them to understand that this is an opportunity to work together and it's not us just throwing stuff over the fence. I think those are some of the key challenges that we run into.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsor.
Black Kite knows how complex it can be managing your cyber ecosystem risk. You're forced to either use a manual process or rely on old school ratings or scorecards. Neither option gives you a full picture of risk, and both force you to make decisions with blindsides, and this uncertainty causes increased stress. Black Kite illuminates risk in your cyber ecosystem. Our deep insights help you ease the tension caused by the unknown in your cyber ecosystem. We do this by giving you more than a risk score. We've created an automated system that provides real-time and accurate risk intelligence. Our data is accurate, reliable, detailed, and operationalized, so you can make informed risk decisions across your ever-changing cyber ecosystem. To learn more, visit blackkite.com.
And now, back to the podcast.
Are vendors receptive to this kind of communication and collaboration? And what are some things that you can do to help them be more receptive? Or is it just a situation where we need to write it in our contracts that they have to work with us on this stuff? What are your thoughts there?
So contracts are what we've always relied on, and contracts are good sort of stopgaps and kind of, you know, the last mile kind of protection. But I think that we need to figure out how to work with them in a more collaborative environment. I think that we need to think about how we can have communication bi-directional and be able to get the security and risk people to talk to one another, because otherwise, and I know you can't see me, but I'm gesturing wildly now, what happens is the security and risk people pass something they learn upstream to the business stakeholder, who then passes it across, who then sends it down to their security team. And we end up with kind of a mini game of sort of cyber telephone where the problems move through so many different parties, we don't necessarily know what's what. So being able to build that collaboration between the security and risk folks and their colleagues on the other end of the relationship is really, really important. And I think that while not everybody's going to be receptive to this kind of conversation, we're starting to see a lot more focus on third-party risk, on supply chain risk, on vendor risk, both from a regulatory perspective as well as from a business operations perspective. We're starting to see a lot more of these things built into the models. I won't use the word contract, but as we start to see that, people are becoming more receptive, because at the end of the day, we're trying to help people make the world safer, better. You know, I know this sounds somewhat altruistic, but part of the reason why I moved into the role I have at Black Kite is I feel like I can help the world be safer. I feel like we can make people's data safer, make people more operationally efficient. And I think if we can communicate that to our partners, to our stakeholders, to our vendors and third parties, I think that's a really, really powerful thing. It's not about, hey, you need to do this. It's about, we need to do this together so that we can all be better. We can all be more efficient. We can all be more effective. And I think when we start to do that, I think they become much more receptive to engaging and working together.
So you've mentioned a couple of things to help companies be, or vendors be, more receptive. And we've talked a little bit about really communicating information rather than data. What are some other suggestions that you have for companies to do better work with their vendors to reduce their risk?
There's no shortage of things that we can do, but I think a lot of it really is about building partnerships and building relationships. Some of our very large customers that are monitoring 10,000, 50,000, 100,000 vendors, they all have collaborative environments with those partners. It's not about outbound, you better or else. It's about, we should work together, right? And I think that collaboration is super, super important. I think being able to parse this down, we don't want to go to a vendor and say, hey, you have 300 problems. We want to go and say, look, we've identified some things. Here are the four or five that we're the most concerned about. Let's talk together. I also think that there's an internal thing that needs to be done, which is the security and risk folks need to be better at communicating to their business stakeholders internally why we're looking at the things we're looking at, because I think there's a disconnect there. Security people say, oh, well, our vendor does a terrible job of patch management. A business person who has that relationship, they don't care about that. What they care about is, can that vendor provide the product or service that we pay them for? So I think being able to change messaging internally is just as important as being able to change externally. And that's why we're actually super excited about our new collaboration engine, because that enables that effective communication both internally and externally and allows us to focus on the three things that business executives care about: money coming in, money going out. If something goes bad, who's responsible? And I think those are the things that we really, really need to think about. You know, some of our vendors are more important than others. I always paraphrase Animal Farm by George Orwell. All vendors are equal, but some vendors are more equal than others. And I think we need to prioritize and focus on the ones that are most contributory toward our business objectives, the ones that we share the most data with, the ones that would potentially be the most damaging if there was a data loss or a breach or a ransomware and that data got out. So prioritizing allows us to focus, get more efficient and effective. And then once we know how to manage 100 vendors, we can manage 1,000 vendors. And we know how to do that, then we can do 10,000. And when we know how to do that, we can do 100,000. This is the future, and this is where we want to move to, which is a future where you can monitor all of the vendors in your ecosystem, even if you don't have a very mature program, even if you don't have a lot of people to throw at the problem. These problems are solvable. They have not been in the past, but they are now.
Jeff, thanks very much for talking with us about this. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think we need to focus on this and think about this as mutually beneficial as opposed to the blame game. I think it's too easy to point fingers at our partners and third parties and vendors. I think we all need to work together. This is all about collaboration. I know I've said that a bunch of times, but I think we need to treat this as a problem that is beneficial to everyone, because I can tell you for sure, and our research team sees this all the time, the bad actors are way, way more collaborative than we are. They work together much better than we do. We should emulate them so that we can be more responsive. We're never going to get ahead of them, but we at least want to try to catch up. And I think working together and getting everyone to understand that this is a mutually beneficial exercise and set of processes and set of implementation. So it's not about conflict. It should be about working together.
Jeffrey, thanks for being on the podcast today.
It is my pleasure, Heather. A pleasure as always. And thanks everyone for listening.
Hidden Risk is a cybercrime magazine podcast series brought to you by Black Kite. An award-winning intelligence platform, Black Kite is disrupting traditional third-party risk management practices worldwide by providing cybersecurity experts with full visibility they've never experienced before. To learn more about our sponsor, visit blackkite.com. For more of our media, visit our website at cybersecurityventures.com.